It's time to get spooky. Welcome to the show. Let's go.
Hello, and welcome back to the Spooky Scary Podcast. My name is Kath.
And I am Chris.
Merry Christmas.
Oh, yeah. Crimbus. It is the week after Christmas.
Is it 2 weeks after Christmas?
2 weeks after Christmas. Yeah, it's New Year's now.
Happy New Year.
We're recording this early. We don't know where we are.
We're sort of, I mean, I guess we could sort of be behind the times because we are doing Christmas-themed stories this week, even though it's past Christmas. But, you know, it's never too late to still be holly jolly.
And we realized that we should have done this, like, during Christmas time, and so we decided to not wait another year to do it and just do it now because who cares?
Honestly, I leave my Christmas lights up to like March, so it's still Christmas.
I mean, I always have Christmas lights up in my room, so like
that's true.
It's always holly jolly here, boys.
I don't have a tree in my apartment, but like when I lived with my parents, they literally leave the house up. They literally leave the tree up until like the end of February.
I mean, do you remember my old apartment? We just like left the tree up the rest of the year.
Yeah, it was just like, and now I have this tree that lives in my house.
To be fair, our tree was really cute and the color scheme was really pretty. And so we were both just like, we don't want to take it down.
It's like, we're proud of this. Why would we get rid of it?
Right. And so it just like, at our party that we had in, like, May, it was just still there.
As it should be,
honestly. Honestly, yeah. Christmas is a way of life, not a day.
I'm kind of, like, I love the, like, Nightmare Before Christmas aesthetic of, like, spooky Christmas. So this is a very exciting episode for me.
Yes. Except mine's kind of depressing.
Oh, mine's very depressing. But, like,
okay, good.
It takes place on Christmas.
Mine starts on Christmas Eve, so.
Okay.
Shall we just take it jump away? In? Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, let's just jump into it.
Oh, God. Jump in with Corbin Bleu.
Or was a that cinematic masterpiece.
Honestly, I didn't like that movie as a kid.
Really?
Yeah.
I loved it.
I wasn't a fan. We watched a bunch of old movies last night. I say old movies, like movies of our childhood. We watched Sharkboy and Lava Girl, watched the zombie Scooby-Doo. Where they go to, like, New Orleans or whatever. And then we also watched the Bee Movie. Stevie made a bee pun. And I was like, stop. And he's like, can we watch the Bee Movie now?
I've actually never seen the Bee Movie.
I hadn't either until last night.
How was it? Are you
not
changed?
Not good. Nope. It's just, like, an hour and a half of me going, what the fuck is going on?
Was it a Bee Movie?
No, it's more like an F.
Fair enough.
A solid F. Like, Jerry Seinfeld just sat there and made the Bee Movie, and we all just let him.
You should have just sat there and ate your food.
But instead, we have this monstrosity. It's just so bad. And I think, like, the moral of the story ends up being, like, bees are good for the environment.
Yeah.
But, like...
But doesn't he, like, fuck a lady?
Kind of, yeah. He gon' fuck that, a bee gon' fuck that lady.
It, for me, it's the weird part isn't that the bee wants to fuck the lady, it's that the lady wants is to also fuck into it.
Because the lady has a, like, boyfriend, and they're, like, dating, and then she's like, I'm a lady.
She's having an affair with a bee.
And he's just, like, so jealous of this bee, and, like, Barry B. Benson is living his best fucking life because he's out here dating a florist.
Can the bee and the person communicate?
Like, yes, do they talk to each other? Yes, the bee can talk. Like, in this universe, bees can speak.
Well, okay, here's my thing. I was talking to Alex about this last night. You know how in, like... So he's making a video about the... it's like a deep dive into the lore of the Air Bud cinematic universe.
Oh, beautiful. I used to fucking love Air Bud as a kid.
And we were having this, like... I noticed something. I was like... In the Air Bud movies, Air Bud can't talk to the people.
No, he cannot.
The Air Buddies, however, can all speak. Are they evolving?
Or did Air Bud fuck a lady?
Oh, I didn't even know we were going in that direction. That is a possibility.
That's how they could talk. They're half human. Surprise. The Christmas Posse. I originally was researching it as a Downtown Posse, but then one other article called it the Christmas Posse. So I'm gonna just say they're both, just for clarification sakes.
Okay, that makes sense.
I got this from a bunch of different fucking news articles. So, thanks Dayton Daily News. I think this is in Ohio. Times.
Dayton? Yeah, Dayton, Ohio.
Okay, cool. So this is in Ohio. I didn't see, it never mentioned the city, and I just went with it until just now. So yeah, we're gonna just talk about some really depressing shit that happened on Christmas. But then it kind of has a happy ending in a way.
Mm-hmm.
So just be prepared for a mild happy ending. So it was a group of people, they originally spent their days, like, they would just, like, try and bum money at Courthouse Square. However, they were just like, you know what, let's just stop doing that and kill people instead.
A transition.
So on December 24th, 1992, early in the morning, Laura Taylor, who was 16, and her boyfriend Marvelous Keen, who was 19, decided they were going to rob a man named... No, there is no name yet. Sorry, I'm stupid. They were going to rob a man that Taylor figured would pay them for sex. So she calls this man, Joseph Wilkerson, who was 34, and promised mm-hmm. him an orgy.
Posing as a prostitute to, like, get this dude to come, basically.
Yeah, but I think also he might have been a sex worker
mm-hmm.
as well. So I saw one thing that said he was a sex worker, so I was a little bit confused about that part. But, okay. Yeah. As a part of the plan, they recruited Heather Nicole Matthews, who was 20 years old, and she had just been released from prison a few months earlier. So Laura was the leader of the group.
Uh-huh.
Like, intellectually, at least, because she was, like, the smartest one, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
So they go to this man's house, tie him to the headboard with electrical cords, and then they searched his house for valuables, and they found a .32 caliber Derringer that... Mm-hmm. Marvelous. I hate that name so fucking much.
Her name is Marvelous?
His, but yes.
His?
Mm-hmm. Marvallous.
Marvelous.
Mm-hmm.
Marv the Marvelous.
Oh, God. Yeah, from now on, he is Marv. His name is now Marv.
We're calling him Marv.
Yep, Marv. Marv used said gun to shoot this man in the chest.
Isn't the guy from Home Alone named Marv?
Maybe. I haven't seen Home Alone in, like, 10 years, so.
I'm just gonna pretend that this is Joe Pesci.
Okay, that's a good idea. Matthews also testified later in her trial in 93 that Laura put a .25 caliber weapon to his head and shot him a second time.
Mm-hmm.
They then ransacked his house again, stole his car, and then used it to hunt for more victims. On Neal Avenue, they picked up another person, which was Heather's boyfriend, who was 17. His name was DeMarcus Maurice Smith. They found 18-year-old Danita Goulette talking on a payphone. Danita was a senior at Patterson Cooperative High School and the mother of a 2-year-old child. They think, like, it's reported that they shot her for her shoes. She had Fila tennis shoes, and I guess they wanted them. Police found
J's
her.
J's on my feet.
Oh, God,
J's
no.
J's on my feet.
That's not even Fila.
I know, but I don't know.
Okay.
There's not a song for that.
I guess that's true. F's on my feet.
F's on my feet.
Police found her body on the ground outside the telephone booth, shot 5 times. The pavement was covered in blood and .25 caliber blazer aluminum bullet shell casings. Those casings helped tie in the, like, events together. But taken from her were her coat, her shoes, and a backpack that contained 50 cents. So she died for, like, 50 cents, basically.
For, like, 50 cents and some shoes?
Yeah, and a backpack. And a jacket.
Sad.
They then returned to the first victim's house where they stayed the night. They tried to kill one more person. It was, Heather's ex-boyfriend, Jeffrey Wright. I put everyone's last names in here now, and I'm trying to switch back to first names in my mind, but I can't do that, so we're gonna just say last names. I apologize in advance.
That's fine. Most people, I feel like, identify with last names.
I agree. In, like, I just
news articles and stuff.
Yeah, I that's what, where a lot of the articles said their last names, and I was just like, yeah, I'm gonna go with this, and I'm gonna use that. And then now I'm reading it, and I'm like, I wonder what their first name was. And I try and scroll back up to find it, and it just takes a lot of time. Yeah. So Smith put 4 bullets into Jeffrey's legs, according to police, but he escaped to a neighbor's house and survived.
Go, Jeff.
Hell yeah, Jeff survived, but I'm pretty sure he's paralyzed now.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
Yeah. On Christmas Day, so the next day, 16-year-old Taylor coaxed her old boyfriend, Richmond Maddox, who was 19, from his parents' home, and they both left in Maddox's car with Keen and Smith and Matthews in the car behind them, just, like, following them.
Yeah.
He eventually saw the car trailing them, became suspicious, and was like, I'ma just speed the fuck up. And so he did, but then Taylor put a derringer to his right temple and shot him. She then bailed out of the car before it crashed on Benton Avenue. He was later declared dead from a gunshot wound to the head. One of the investigators said spree killers are exceedingly violent, often choosing their victims at random and killing for the enjoyment of it.
Yeah, because I guess it's sort of like it's like a going down swinging kind of thing.
Right. Like, at this point, like, they don't really have a reason for the victims. They're just choosing random people. Like, this person, like, had a slight, like, connection to them, but... So the next victim is Sarah Abrams. Abraham. Oh my god, I can't read.
I love English.
She was a mother of 3. And for Christmas, her daughter had drawn, like, given her a picture that she drew herself.
So this was all on Christmas Eve, or did it start on Christmas Eve?
And it started on Christmas Eve, then now we're at Christmas Day, but Sarah dies the next day.
Okay.
So on December 26th, she was behind the counter at the Shortstop Mini Market, a family-owned grocery store in West 5th Street, when Taylor walked in to case it. A few minutes later, Smith and Keen walked in, and Keen shot Sarah twice in the head. They also shot a witness in the store, who was shot in the hand and the stomach, but she survived, or they survived, doesn't give a gender, sorry. Yeah. Sarah then died 5 days later. When they robbed this store, they only got away with $44.
That's crazy that they're, like, killing people for, like, $40 and some tennis shoes.
Right. They then, like, they were, like, trying to, like, evade the cops, so they, like, would steal cars and then change the license plates on some and everything. They then, like, got stressed because they thought that, someone would snitch. So, Matthews, this was on the stand later and, like, during trial, she said that they believed Wendy Cottrell, who was 16, and Marvin Washington might be able to implicate them in previous, attacks. And so after Sarah was killed, they picked both of them up and bought beer and wine. Keen said he had to pee, so they pulled over into a gravel yard on Richley Drive. But then Smith and Keen ordered both of them out of their car, marched them behind a large pile of dirt, and then executed them.
Oh my god.
But their bodies weren't found until after they were arrested. So that makes them the 5th and 6th victims of their, like, killing spree. Another woman was about to be the 7th victim, but because she was airing up her tires at a Salem Avenue gas station. But she ran when her car was stolen at gunpoint. So, like, she was smart and she dipped the fuck out when they, like, pointed the gun at her. Yeah, she was like,
got a blast.
Right.
Not literally.
Yeah, thankfully. So, 72 hours after the first killing, Dayton Police Sergeant John Huber saw the Dodge Shadow, which was the car that was stolen. I actually don't know if it's a car. It might be a truck. Sure. The vehicle, Dodge Shadow, there we go, on Coomer Avenue, with all 4 of them inside, he called a plate check in, and the registration didn't come back to a Dodge Shadow, because, like I said, they were using, like, switching stolen plates and stuff.
Yeah.
So then, like, units were like, all right, bet, we got you, and, like, they, like, surrounded them.
Uh-huh.
But it's crazy, because, like, all of the violence and everything, their capture was actually pretty, like, uneventful. Smith ran into a nearby house, but was quickly captured, and the other 3 just, like, put their hands up and were taken into custody.
Yeah, I feel like if you're killing people, so, like, just at random and, like, being so messy about it, you probably, like, on some level have already kind of made peace with the fact that you're, like, going to jail.
Right, like, you're either this ends one of two ways. You go to jail or you die.
Yeah.
Like, there's very few ways this could end.
Yeah.
Huber is now the director of public safety for Sinclair Community College, but he learned later that Taylor ordered Keene to shoot him, but for some reason he just didn't. But here is a quote from Huber. He said, "It was a tragic time at tragic crime at Christmas, a tough time of year. It's sad that we couldn't have gotten to them sooner. There was no rhyme or reason, and there was no pattern. But, like, they just finally caught him, and because, like, just for the, like, luckiness of, like, the car was, like, he was suspicious of the car and decided to call in a plate check. And then the plates came back stolen. So, like, if it weren't because of that, like, who knows how many more people could have been killed.
Mm-hmm.
So then, obviously, you know, they all got arrested and went to trial. And it is a little bit happy.
Semi-happy ending.
Taylor and Matthews are serving life sentences for murder at the Ohio Reformatory for Women in Marysville, while mm-hmm. Smith is serving a life murder sentence at the Mansfield Correctional Institute. On July 21st, 2009, he was convicted of five of the killings, was executed by lethal injection at the Southern Ohio Correctional Facility in Lucasville after, I think, mm-hmm. 17 years or 17 different appeals with none of them going anywhere, and he had no last words. So, like, he just, like, refused and just stayed silent.
Yeah.
But here comes our happy ending-ish.
Yay-ish.
This is the first victim, or no, the second victim, the girl at the payphone. Her sister's, I didn't put her first name down, so I just have her last name. But, so, she helped raise her sister's daughter. She's now a victim mm-hmm. advocate within the Montgomery County Victim Witness Division.
Uh-huh.
And she says that, the holidays are always tough for her each year because, like, every year it just, she, like, gets brought back to that place of remembering her sister. So, okay, yeah, sorry, this was her sister. And then she also, like, after her sister died, she's been raising her sister's child.
Oh, okay.
Sorry, I thought you meant
the daughter was the...
Yeah, I wrote that down really weird for some reason.
No.
But she says, this is a quote from her, she says, "I try to shift my focus off myself and what happened to me and my other family members onto service." So she serves in her church, in her community, and feeds the homeless. She says from September 1st to January 1st, she just, like, is constantly doing stuff in the community. Because she's like, I just have to keep myself busy.
Yeah.
And she and says, like, her sister's final words were, "Don't shoot me." Because, like, she complied with everything. She handed over everything and they still shot her.
Yeah.
And she says it will forever haunt her. And she's like, how do you ever forget you have a sister, and how do you forget that your sister was killed on Christmas Eve?
I'm sad now.
Yeah, I told you it wasn't a good story. I mean, I told you it wasn't going to be happy.
Yeah, that's the issue with doing a true crime podcast, is it's never, like, happy fun times.
Yeah, there's very rarely a happy ending.
That's why I try to just, like, do these random, like, left fun field episodes. Stories every once in a while.
I feel like we should try and, like, challenge ourselves one week to find find something that ends good.
Yeah, like true crime with happy endings.
Yeah. Because I feel like
But I feel like the issue is that, like, true crime always has crime.
I mean, yeah, I can think of a few that I could do where, like, it ends good.
Okay, well, my story doesn't end good today either, so...
Well, that's just what we're in for. We're in for a sad, depressing day.
Yeah. Ho, but, ho, ho. Merry Crimbus.
That's the end of my story. That's the whole story of the downtown posse.
That's wild.
Four assholes. Who
forms a gang on Christmas?
Well, okay, they were, like, already, like, they were, like, they like to panhandle for money and stuff, but I guess they were like, you know what's gonna get us more money? Robbing people, but it's really funny because they've, like, made $45.
Yeah. Like, if you're gonna rob people, at least do it effectively.
Right. It's just, it's horrible all around. Especially on Christmas. Like, you know, murder is bad always, but, like, especially on Christmas, it just is a lot harder.
Yeah, because it's like those people were probably, like, looking forward to like spending time with their families and stuff, and now they don't get to do that.
And they're just, you know, dead.
Well, on that note,
we want to take a break.
Take a little brickety break.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll be right back. Okay. Ma. I want to watch that show. Is it good? Didn't you watch
it? It's honestly, no, yeah, I love it. I've watched every episode.
Is it like an episode a week kind of thing?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But they brought back two, there's like two characters like from the original series that come back and have a cameo.
Who?
Martha and Ryan.
I love that for them.
And then, like, it's literally funny because Lucas Grabeel, like, in the episode plays on the fact that he has a cameo. And he was like, you never know when you'll come back for a cameo.
Oh, yeah, because, wait, so he's not... Wait. Is he playing Ryan or is he playing Lucas?
He's playing Lucas, I think.
Because in the show, High School Musical is a movie, not something that actually happened. Right?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a movie and then also, like, a musical. Like, are they, like in this universe, High School Musical, the musical exists.
But it's not, like... It also exists in real life.
Right, but, like, it's not, like, Ryan and Troy and everyone and, like, Gabriella, they didn't exist. They were Zac Efron and Vanessa Hudgens.
Yes, okay. I understand now.
Anyway, like, so at one point they call her, like... They call her V-Hudge at one point, and I really hate it, but I just feel like I'm sharing that with you.
Oh, that, so it's High School Musical, the series.
Yes.
The TV show.
Yes. But honestly, the soundtrack is really good.
So is it, like, a musical?
Kind of. It's a musical in the same... So it's
High School Musical, the series, the musical.
Yeah, it's a musical in the same way High School Musical was, when they'll just, like, randomly burst out in a song.
But sometimes the songs are part of the...
Yes.
The show. Like, yes. Sometimes it's they're actually singing a song, and sometimes it's, like, a metaphorical song.
Yes. Sometimes they're singing a song, and it's, like, just the original songs from High School Musical. But they also have original songs that are just, like, a part of, like, their what their characters are going through.
Interesting.
It's a time. I enjoy it.
Okay.
Welcome
anyway,
back.
Anyway, welcome back.
I hope you enjoyed that rant about High School Musical, the musical, the series.
I don't have Disney Plus, but I think I might get it or steal someone's password whenever the new Lizzie McGuire show drops, because I need that in my life.
But there's, like, no even talk about when that's coming out yet.
Well, they're still filming it right now.
Right. So it could come out, like, 2 years from now, dude.
Yeah.
Because they have like a whole game plan for the next 5 years of what's going to happen. They have a Marvel show that's going to come out. It's animated, so I'm kind of like, eh, about that. Like, I'm not the biggest fan of animated shows.
Mm-hmm.
But it's called What If.
Okay.
And it's just a bunch of, like, alternate realities where, like, Peggy gets the super serum instead of Steve. And then Loki gets Mjolnir instead of Thor. And
well,
stuff
I understand
like that.
Why that's animated then, because they... can't get the whole, like, original cast for the
Yeah, show, I guess probably. That's fair.
So it but, either be that or recasting.
Yeah, I'm really here for... I'm excited for that, and I'm excited for Loki, because I'm really going to enjoy the Loki movie, even if
I'm
it's bad.
I'm also kind of like... I guess I feel like I can't keep up with... Well, because it's not a movie, it's a TV show, right? The Loki thing?
I thought it was a movie. It might be a TV show. But I thought it was a movie.
I think all of the... things that are dropping exclusively on Disney Plus or TV shows.
No, they're making some exclusive movies as well.
Really?
I thought so. I could be wrong, but I think there was one or... Do what?
I said the MCU is dead.
Yeah. But they're gonna beat a dead horse.
That is true.
But there's and then we're also gonna get a TV show with Anthony Mackie and Bucky.
Yeah.
Which I'm really excited for, because then we get to see Anthony Mackie as Captain America, which I'm really excited for.
Anyway, speaking of dead...
Let's talk about serial killers.
Well, technically it's not a serial killer, but I don't know what the definition of serial killing is. Like, I think it's just killing three or a more. Bunch of people.
I think three or more at like different times makes it a different serial times. Killing.
Yeah, so this technically isn't a serial killing. I think it's a mass killing.
Oh, beautiful. I'm ready.
Okay, so anyway, let's introduce you to our...
main characters.
Our bad guy. So, Ronald Gene Simmons.
The protagonist. Antagonist? Yes.
Antagonist. Definitely
antagonist.
There we
go. I was really bad at it. I always forgot what those two meant in English. I got them confused all the time.
Well, your protagonist doesn't always need to be a good guy, but...
Your antagonist has to be a bad guy.
Pretty much, yeah. Or, okay. Well, I guess technically speaking, the antagonist and the protagonist just have to be at odds with each other. It doesn't necessarily have to be that the protagonist is morally in the right. But I think in this universe, there's no way to say that this man is our protagonist.
Okay, that's
we
fair.
We are not rooting for him.
He is a bad man, and we do not support him.
Exactly. So anyway, his name was Ronald Gene Simmons. He was born in 1940 in Chicago.
Ooh.
That's where you be.
Close-ish.
His father died when he was 3, and a year later, his mom remarried a man who worked for the Army Corps of Engineers. I'm just giving you, like, a little backstory on homie's life.
I appreciate a good backstory. I like context.
Yeah. So at age 17, Simmons dropped out of school and joined the U.S. Navy. And while stationed in Washington, he met Becky Ulibarri. They married in 1960 in New Mexico. Then Simmons left the Navy a few years later to join the Air Force. And then he was there for the next 19 years until he retired. So over the next 18 years, Simmons and his wife had 7 kids together.
That's a lot of kids.
Yeah, seven whole kids. But they weren't exactly, like, a happy family. He was considered very, like, strict. He would make them do a lot of, like, very intense yard work, like, at a very young age. He was, like, there's not, like, any specific instances of him being, like, abusive, but it's assumed that he was.
Yeah.
There was one instance of him, like, actual allegations. So in 1981, allegations surfaced that Simmons had been sexually abusing his then 17-year-old daughter. And some people even believed that one of his youngest children was actually fathered with her.
Oh, no.
But I don't know if there's actual proof of that or if that's just, like, a rumor.
I hope it's not true.
Yeah, me too. So, the Department of Human Services in New Mexico began an investigation into it, and to get away from that, Simmons fled the charges by moving his entire family to Dover, Arkansas.
Yeah, that's what you do. That screams innocence.
So they moved on to this, like, huge plot of land that was completely isolated. They had no phone, no plumbing, and it was completely surrounded by, like, a giant fence.
Mm, beautiful.
But eventually those charges were dropped at the family's request. And this is some, like, what I consider some dumb shit. So you know how, like, if you're a minor, your parents kind of can make legal decisions for you?
Yes.
So, like, if she had been sexually assaulted and then pressed charges against some rando, her parents would be able to help control the, like, way that played out legally. But because the allegations were against her own father, I feel like her mother then could have dropped the charges for her.
Yeah.
So so the charges were dropped, but, like, that seems sketchy to me.
Yeah, I agree.
So 6 years after moving to Arkansas, on December 28th, Ronald Gene Simmons walked into a law firm and he shot and killed the secretary. He then went to an oil company, a convenience store, and finally his former workplace, where he shot people at all of those locations. The whole attack took about 45 minutes in total, with him just, like, going to location, from location to location, shooting people. And when it was over, Simmons had killed 2 people and injured 4 others.
Jesus Christ.
after shooting and killing office manager Joyce Butts at the Woodline Motor Freight, Simmons then surrendered to a secretary there. He told the secretary, "I've gotten everybody who wanted to hurt me," and he waited there for the police, and then when they arrived, he handed over his gun and didn't resist at all and just let them take him away.
Oh.
So the police then tried notifying the Simmons family that Ronald had been arrested, but they couldn't reach them by phone, so they drove out to the home. But when they got there, they, you know, like, knocked on the door, things like that, and nobody answered. So they eventually entered by force, and they found a decorated Christmas tree, still wrapped presents, and then under the tree were the bodies of the 12 Simmons family members.
Oh, fuck.
So all of them were lying under the tree, and they'd been dead there for a few days. And they all of their bodies were covered with coats. After searching the surrounding area, police also found the bodies of Ronald Jean's two grandson toddlers. Like, they were, that was a weird way to phrase that. Two toddler grandsons. And their bodies were wrapped in plastic and then hidden in abandoned cars that were parked nearby.
Oh my God.
Investigators realized that Simmons had begun his killing spree with his own family nearly a week before, a couple days before Christmas, and a motive was never found. So some people think that Simmons had, like, figured out that his wife was planning to divorce him, and it, like, drove him into a rage. Investigators found a letter that she'd written to her oldest son, like, soon before everything happened. And in the letter, she said, "I don't want to live the rest of my life with Dad. I'm a prisoner here, and the kids, too. Every time I think of freedom, I want out as soon as possible."
That's so sad.
Yeah. Other people think that he also might have been acting out of, like, anger because he'd been romantically rejected from his daughter, who he'd been assaulting and molesting when she was younger, because she'd recently left home and married and had a child of her own. And some people also think that the secretary that he killed at the law firm had also rejected his, like, romantic advances. So what actually happened was, on December 21st, Simmons made his children dig a huge ditch in their backyard. He told them that he was planning on putting an outhouse there, but what they didn't know was they were actually digging their own grave.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So the next morning, on December 22nd, Simmons shot his wife and his oldest son using a .22 caliber pistol, and then after that, he strangled his 3-year-old granddaughter.
Oh my God.
Simmons then waited for the other 4 kids who were living at home at the time to return, and when they did arrive, he told them that he had presents for them, and he took them one by one outside and killed them all the same way, by strangling them and then holding them underwater in a rain barrel.
Oh my God.
So then that was all on the 22nd. So then he kept their bodies for 3 days. And then the day after Christmas, on the 26th, the rest of the family came to visit for the holidays to have, like, a post-Christmas, like, dinner together. So when his son and daughter-in-law got there, Simmons shot both of them and then strangled their son, who was just 1.5 years old. And then when his daughter Sheila arrived with her husband and child, he killed them the same way. And then finally, Simmons killed his 21-month-old grandson. So,
oh my God.
Yeah, he just basically just waited for every member of his family to show up to his house and then killed them when they got there. Simmons then dumped 7 of his family members into the ditch in the backyard and then left the rest in the house under the tree. And then put the 2 youngest toddlers in nearby cars. After killing them, Simmons went to a local bar for a drink. He came home a few hours later and then lived the next couple of days normally with his family's bodies just lying on the floor of his house.
Oh, no.
So 6 days after he first killed his wife, Simmons drove to the nearby town of Russellville, where he killed the 24-year-old secretary, Kathy Kendrick, at the office of Peel and Eddy Law Firm, by shooting her 4 times in the head. He immediately left there and went to the Taylor Oil Company, where he shot the owner, Rusty Taylor, and an employee, Jim Chaffin. Rusty survived, but Jim unfortunately passed away.
Holy shit.
So a bunch of the workers at the oil company, obviously he walked into this oil company and just started shooting people. So the workers called 911. But before they got there, he was already on his way to his third destination, which was the Sinclair Mini Market, where he used to work. And there he shot two employees, but they both survived. And then he left there and went to another former workplace, the Woodline Motor Freight, where he shot Joyce Butts. When he surrendered to the secretary, he apparently kept repeating, "I just wanted to kill Joyce, just Joyce."
He killed a lot more than Joyce.
Yeah, that doesn't really make sense because Joyce was the last person he killed. He killed, right, like, a ton of people before Joyce. So Ronald Jean Simmons was in a cell at a local detention center when the police showed up to his Dover home to find the bodies of his family. Simmons was sent to the Arkansas.
Yep.
America, explain.
Arkansas.
Why is this one Kansas, but this one is not Arkansas? So Simmons went to the Arkansas State Hospital.
Yes.
In Little Rock for a competency evaluation where they found him staying. Why can't I speak English?
Neither could I, so it's fine.
They declared him sane and said he was able to withstand trial. So for some reason, I don't really understand why, he had two separate trials. So in May of 1988 was his first trial where he was found guilty for killing Kathy Kendrick, the secretary, and Jim Chaffin, who worked at the oil company.
Mm-hmm.
And 2 days later, Simmons was sentenced to death by lethal injection plus 147 years for those two murders. And then his second trial ended on February 10th, 1989, so almost a whole year later, where he was found guilty of 14 counts of capital murder for each of his family members. And actually, Bill Clinton, who at that point was the governor of Arkansas, signed Simmons' execution warrant.
Beautiful.
So Simmons ended up being lethally injected on March 16th, 1989. He didn't try to appeal his death sentence at all, and in his final trial hearing, he actually said to the jury, "In my particular case, anything short of death would be cruel and unusual punishment."
Holy shit.
Yeah, so he... like, he told his lawyers that he wanted to get the death penalty.
Why?
It seems like he just was kind of like, he went into this, like, it seems to me like he just sort of snapped. Like, he snapped, killed everybody, and then was kind of just like, okay, I'm done now. You can kill me. Bye.
Yeah, that's fair.
Nobody claimed his body when he died, so Ronald Jean Simmons was buried in a common, unmarked grave, and that's the end of the story.
It's what he deserves.
Yeah, honestly.
That's...
but it's...
terrible.
It's honestly surprising to me that he got the death penalty, because the fact that he, like, told the jury that it would be cruel and unusual punishment to keep him alive, you'd think the jury would be like, okay, then we keeping you alive.
Right, like, that's what you want. You want to die. We're not gonna let that happen.
Yeah, but I guess they were just like, the world's better off without you.
Yeah.
I...
and honestly, had he been put in jail, he probably would have been killed by a prisoner because, you know...
yeah, because...
they don't take too kindly to people who killed 20 people.
Yeah. I think he killed 16 in total.
Oh, well, still.
Over the course of... yeah, but it's crazy. He just, like, all of a sudden, like, a couple days before Christmas, he was like, it's murder time. And then he just, like...
murdered.
Yeah, for like
everyone.
I think like 6 days, and then he was just like, okay, I'm done. Take me away.
That's wild.
Yeah.
What the fuck, man?
But it's weird because he was like, I wanted to kill Joyce. I just wanted to kill Joyce. And then he was like, I killed
like 20 other people too.
But he was like, I've killed everyone who has hurt me. But that includes like three kids who are under the age of 4.
Right, like, what do they do?
Like, sorry, not saying...
I just noticed I have a light switch across my room that doesn't control any lights, and I'm really curious what it controls.
I have some like that, but they control an outlet.
Yeah, I've had our living room has a few like that, but I don't know if this one controls an outlet. I mean, assuming it does because it's turned in the on position right now, so it makes sense that it controls an outlet. Sorry, that's a wild tangent. It just like it's the first time I've noticed it,
and you're I've good.
Lived in this room for like 2 weeks now.
I don't know if my like headphones are like being weird. You sound like a robot.
You did too for a little bit.
That's weird.
That's fun. We have filters on our voices.
Love that. My robot friend.
Rend.
You're full like Billie Eilish in Bad Guy.
Beautiful.
I'm the bad guy.
Duh.
Gorgeous. Is that the BuzzFeed Unsolved theme song?
Fuck you.
Anyway, so Merry Christmas.
Happy New Year. If you don't celebrate Christmas, that's good. It's over.
Happy Kwanzaa. Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, and Christmas were all like in the same week this year.
Mm-hmm. That's wild.
My friend, who's Jewish, when there was a, so like sometimes Hanukkah is by like Thanksgiving and then sometimes it's over by Christmas and then sometimes it's like somewhere in between. But when we were in high school, she used to be like, there were a couple, I think there was once where Hanukkah fell on Thanksgiving and she was like, it's Thanksgivica.
I like that.
And then one time she came over to my house on Christmas and it was like during Hanukkah and she was like, and this is Chrismica.
I have a very important question for you. It relates 0% to this.
Okay.
But
beautiful.
Well, it kind of does because combining words.
Uh-huh.
But would you call mac and cheese on pizza mac and cheese?
That seems like what it should be.
I agree. Stevie vehemently disagrees with me. He was very angry.
What should
it be called? Mac and cheese. He believes mac and cheese shouldn't be on pizza, period.
I disagree.
He's half asleep right now, nodding.
Well, pizza's just carb and cheese, and mac and cheese is just carb and cheese.
So it's just double carb, double cheese.
Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think I've ever actually had mac and cheese on pizza, but I'd be willing to try it just to spite him.
The idea sounds good. Like, I'm hungry now thinking about it.
I mean, we were ordering pizza last night for dinner, and it was one of the options, and I was like, ooh, mac and cheese, and he said, no.
You know what's good?
Hmm.
French fries on pizza.
That sounds like it'd be a really good time.
It is a good time.
What about cheese fries on pizza?
See, now you're speaking my language.
Me too. Now I want to go out and make cheese fry pizza.
I'm literally like, I would probably put anything on a pizza.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, it's just carb and cheese.
Yeah. Do you want to hear my controversial opinion?
Yes, please.
I'm very pro pineapple on pizza. I don't know where you stand.
Okay, I've never had it, but I'm also not the biggest pineapple fan.
I feel you.
Pineapple in Dole Whip and in alcoholic beverages.
I love a good Dole Whip.
Ugh, I miss Dole Whip so much.
They should make an alcoholic Dole Whip.
They should. Hey, Disney, get on that and give us our royalties.
Ring, ring, Epcot. Hey, I'm gonna make you a lot of money. Just listen. What was I saying? Oh yeah, so I do
pineapple on pizza.
Pizza with pineapple and then black olives.
Oh, Stevie's go-to is olives and fucking ham.
Okay, well, see, the real vibe is like
sweet and salty
pineapple. Yeah, so you do pineapple and then like bacon or something, but I don't eat meat, so that's why.
That's
I
fair.
Do the olives.
Yeah, no, I'm not like. I feel like I wouldn't hate it if I liked pineapple, but I'm just not a pineapple fan.
It's just the, like, sweetness plus the cheese plus the salty. It's like, wow, I'm having a culinary experience.
You're very much that scene in Ratatouille. Whenever he,
exactly.
Like, eats the cheese and the strawberry together and he has, like, the swirls behind him.
Dude, that scene, I think, was my first experience of ASMR. I literally remember watching that as a kid being like, what the fuck is going on? My brain is, like, on another level right now.
Ugh, why do I low-key want to watch Ratatouille now?
Ratatouille goes hard. Alex doesn't like Ratatouille. He said it freaks him out.
I love Ratatouille. It was one of my favorite movies as a kid.
I was talking to somebody, and they were like, Ratatouille freaks me out. I don't like the idea that the rat can cook. They were like, I don't like the implications.
You know what movie freaked me out as a kid?
What?
Ants.
What is that? Like Bugs Life?
Yes, but it was just a bunch of sentient ants. And it was terrifying. I'm pretty sure, like, this might be a fever dream, but I vehemently remember as a child being very angry that they cussed in that movie.
Oh. Look at and you, little Christian boy.
I was a very little Christian boy, and I, like, told my parents and surrendered the DVD to them. I was like, I can't watch this. They say bad words.
I actually remember, though, I was reading a book in school, and it said shit in it. When I was, like, in middle school, and I remember being, like, to my friends, like, I'm reading this book, and they were, like, I was, like, I'm a badass, and they were, like, that's inappropriate.
I remember reading Breaking Dawn in middle school.
Uh-huh.
Or maybe it was elementary school.
Dude, if you say that Breaking Dawn, like, wasn't partially your sexual awakening, like, you're a liar.
I remember where I was, but I was reading it, but I was also
11.
Yeah.
We had no business reading Breaking Dawn.
We really didn't, but I was like embarrassed to be reading it. Cause you know, it was a girl's book.
Yeah.
But I remembered like distinctively whenever like Bella's like, oh my God, I missed my period.
Mm-hmm.
My dumb ass was like, what's a period? And I, like, had to ask one of my friends. I was like, what's a period? She's like, are you being serious? And I was like, yeah. What is it?
She's also, like, very vague about it in the book. Like, she's like, she says she, like, glances at some tampons and then she's like, oh, no. And
right.
You're just supposed to figure that out.
Right. And I was like.
It's like if you're an adult or, like, older than 12, you would understand what that means.
Right, but I was like in 11. Sixth or seventh grade.
Yeah.
I had no business reading Breaking Dawn that early, but I did.
Literally, the first half of Breaking Dawn is just softcore porn. What were
we doing?
Yeah,
it really is.
It's literally
the movie is also
being,
just
like,
softcore porn.
The honestly, like, people will... I've never read 50 Shades of Grey.
Neither
people
have I. Like, my grandmother has read all of them, and she owns them.
That's stressful. I absolutely guarantee she came up with that entire plot while reading the first half of Breaking Dawn, because Bella's, like, into some weird BDSM. She's like, bruise me, Edward. And he's like, no, your precious skin. I cannot.
But she's like, I want you to hit me.
Yeah.
Punch me in the face.
Well, that's the weird thing, though, about 50 Shades, is that, they make, like, Edward character be the, like, BDSM guy, and Bella's the, like, innocent girl. Like, that's not how it would go.
No.
Edward is, like, a sweet little angel cupcake. He can't even handle the idea of, like, giving her a bruise during sex. Like, Bella would be a freaking dominatrix, and he would be, like...
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
He's a sub.
Edward is a sub.
Let's write Twilight fan fiction where Bella's a dominatrix.
Oh my God. Writing Twilight fan fiction in the year of our Lord, almost 2020. Oh my
Please.
God. It came out 15 years ago.
Holy fuck.
I have aged.
I was 6.
That's crazy.
You were what, 7?
Yeah, something like that.
That's how math works. How old are you?
Damn. It's either 7 or 8.
No, how old are you now?
Oh, right now I'm 22.
Okay, I thought so. I can't remember if you were 22 or 21.
22.
I'll be 21 soon.
I love that for us.
Me too.
Can we start a band?
Please.
Okay, anyway, so we're still recording a podcast right now.
Oh, shit.
So, I am going to go watch Twilight.
I'm going to go sleep.
I'm literally so mad they took Twilight off of Amazon Prime.
I remember when we watched them together.
I know.
And, like, that, like, depressive episode I had, and we also bought, like, $40 worth of Buffalo Chicken items.
That was beautiful.
It was a beautiful day.
Anyway, so...
On that note, we're going to leave you with those thoughts to ponder on.
Yeah, ponder that. Watch some Twilight. Merry Christmas. Don't kill
Happy
your
New
baby.
Year. And don't kill random people because you want $44.
Yeah. And that's today's lesson.
Bye.
Stay spooky, y'all.